right? Like, if you just hear it and you don't do it, well, have you really applied it? Is it really the Word of God to you? And if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Word of God that reminds us and reveals to us who we are. God, I pray that we would be honest with ourselves as we examine ourselves according to your Word, and Holy Spirit, as you reveal things about us to us. Lord, I pray that we would not just hear that, but take action upon fixing it. Lord, I pray that we would reflect your Son. Lord, help us with these things, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you, what I like doing at school is, especially Monday mornings, I like to stand right where the kids come in off the bus. And man, you see some wonderful things. Monday morning, coming off the bus, some have just been asleep for about a half hour, and some have long bus rides, and they just come in, and they're, you know, the one leg's just kind of dragging, and they're pulling, and, the chewing nothing, you know, like they just woke up. Some either A, did not look in the mirror, or B, did not care what they saw. There's hair going everywhere. Out of control. Buttons misdone. It's a treat to see some of that. Makes me smile. Some days I feel the same way. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Well, we see a reflection of ourselves. Teenage boys flexing, right? Teenage girls doing whatever it is that you do. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Well, you see yourself. You see not what you necessarily think to see, but you see reality. You may think everything's all taken care of, and then you get a closer look and recognize that it needs some attention. You know, sometimes we approach the Word of God the same way. I'm all good. Everything's all set. And then we read and God reveals to our heart who we are and what we are. A wise man, when he looks into this, says this, Lord, correct me. Adjust me. The Bible says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What a dangerous thing. What a dangerous thing as we approach the Word of God to forget who we once were. When we look at the Word of God, what is it that you see? What is reflected back? I don't know too many times where you can read the Scripture and go, I don't feel like God just talked to me. You either weren't reading the same book or there's sin in your heart or something that's hindering that. But if we're honest with ourselves, even when we read through the book of Kings and Chronicles and the Law and some of those prophets and go, this just doesn't apply, there's always an application. And if we were honest with ourselves, as we examine ourselves according to the Word of God, like it said, as we behold ourselves in a natural glass, natural face in the glass there, what do you see? Say you don't like what you see. You wake up in the morning forgetting that there's morning hair, bedhead. Well, that's going to need some attention. Hey, you come to the Word of God and you recognize, I have bitterness in my heart. What are you going to do? Are you just going to walk away and come to school like you just rolled out of bed? Or are you going to just walk away from the Word of God like you just didn't read that? or are we going to be a doer? Are we allow the Word of God to reflect? What do we want to reflect? Well, by the end of this, we're going to want to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, sometimes we look into that mirror, and what do we see? Sometimes we see bitterness. Bitterness is misery. No one that's bitter is ever joyful. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10 tells us such. A bitter person does not have joy. You're missing out. You know what? That's not just in the circumstance. That's every area. The peace of God is absent from someone who is bitter. Even physically, if you have a bitterness towards someone else, it'll even make you sick physically. It reaches down in the heart. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 4. I'm just going to ask you, what is it that you see when you look into the Word of God? Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth into thine heart." What a danger to have bitterness within our hearts. In Acts chapter 8, it ties it to iniquity. It's not just, we can't just approach bitterness and go, that's just the way I am. No, you've just been revealed about some things, and if you don't fix that, the Bible says, hey, that's iniquity. That's not just a mistake. That's just not a blemish. That is sin. And if we walk away from that, oh, that's going to get harder and harder to uproot. It is, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 15, looking, Hebrews 12, 15 says this, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." Bitterness will cause the grace of God in your life to fail, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He warns us. He says, hey, there's going to be some times when you look into the Word of God and you see something about yourself that you're not going to be pleased with. And if you let that thing sit, it says it's going to defile others. The grace of God will fail in your life, and it's going to take root and trouble you. That's the truth of bitterness. It is a trouble. No bitter person ever walks around and say, man, this, I'm so glad. This has made me better. No. Ephesians chapter 4. Go there. Ephesians chapter 4. What is it that you see when you look in the mirror? Unfortunately, I see a 43-year-old man every time. Well, for about 365 days. But we're talking about how about when we look at the Word of God. What is it that we see? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness. Well, I just want to, you know, it's just kind of fun to have a little. You know, every good superhero's got to have an enemy. That's not godly. We're actually told to love our enemies. And it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And it tells us how to act. Be kind one to another. Yeah, but they bother me. Doesn't say that, does it? Yeah, but they our personalities kind of clash. You know, she's a little more outgoing than I like. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As we reflect in the Word of God, what is it that is seen? Is there a bit of bitterness? I warn you, it reaches way down into the heart. is a point of iniquity, it actually causes the grace of God to fail. It prevents growth in our life. I was just praying with Abby and Hudson there for a minute. We concluded praying for, again, the service here tonight, that God help your word to help me grow in faith. Many a times we overlook some of these things, quite honestly, because we believe we are an exception to this. Now, that just doesn't work for me. I've heard it said all too many times. I've actually even said it myself. That's just not. It said, let all bitterness. So when you reveal and you read the Word of God and He reveals and it's reflected back and you see a little bit of that, hey, just don't be a hearer, but be a doer. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Ever leave the house late? Brother Rodell, you understand what? No? You know what I'm talking about? No. I was driving next to a lady that I would presume left the house late. I presume that because as she was driving, she was applying makeup. Not just like little chapstick, but I don't know all the names of the stuff, but there was brushes and, you know, paint and stuff out. I don't know what it was doing. Trying to make herself look beautiful. And I'm great. That's wonderful. A lot of ladies spend time on, again, without getting into a beauty parlor, but time on their eyebrows, and they do things with their eyelashes, and they put colors over and try and hide other colors and things, make their eyes look beautiful. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, judge not, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? As we compare those two things, we're very familiar. Mote's just but a little bit of a speck. Now, if you have contacts, it feels really big. But he says, you're going after this person for having this little thing, and you got this huge problem in your life. You got a what we would call a critical I. Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, there's a beam in thine own eye. Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. See, what we think is that what they have is a big problem. And then once we get our big problem fixed, we realize, and do you see, it never changed the mote in the other person's eye to a beam. It's always still small. Hey, let's be careful that when we read the Word of God, as we read through the passages, we're not thinking about somebody else. Oh, this would be wonderful. This is their problem. How about we read it and say, God, will you show me what my problem is? Will you help me fix my problem? Now, certainly we are to bear one another's burdens. Don't get me wrong. We want to be encouragement and help. And if we have an opportunity through the meekness and the humility, through the scriptures, we can come to our friends and our loved ones and with the right heart, with the right spirit, those three things, right spirit, right time, right place, we can discuss anything. But all too often, we're quite critical of others. As we look into the Word of God and it reveals things about us, what do? We immediately transfer over, yeah, but I've seen it worse. because we compare ourselves among ourselves, and the Bible tells us that that's not wise. And actually, in doing so, being critical of one another, this will maybe surprise you, it will cause divisions among one another, being critical of one another. It actually does not bring people together, it actually pulls them apart. And as we study the Word of God, and as we go through, and God touches our heart, and we go, and we always think of, well, this person's worse than I am with that. And it might be true, but how about you fix you? Last time I checked, the only person I can control is me. I try even controlling my children. But eventually, they're going to get to the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just a couple thoughts here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 25, it says that there should be no schism. What is schism? That's a fancy word. It's another word for division. So much of 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of problems in the church of Corinth. But multiple times it comes up, hey, there's divisions among you, there's problems, there's things that are pulling you apart instead of pulling you together, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Let's be careful that we not get critical of one another. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Remember, you're but maybe one step away from that. Let's be a little more merciful to one another. Have you started, Isaiah, have you started working on your verses this month? No? Who? Hud? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's Matthew chapter 5, right? We call those the Beatitudes. What we ought to be. And that's what it's saying there. Hey, don't you think you should care for that one? I'm not sure if you're aware, but one day you're going to need some grace. One day you're going to need some care. There's going to be a day when you walk down and you're going to wish some weren't as critical. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Hey, let's be careful when we approach the Word of God. We're not thinking of other people, that we are being a hearer and a doer of the Word. That when we approach it, we allow the Word of God to reflect into our life and we can correct it. Lastly, some things that we see sometimes when we look in the mirror and we wish we could kind of walk away from that and go, I wish I didn't see that. Number one, bitterness. Number two, critical spirit. Number three, a proud look. Proverbs 6:17 tells us the dangers of a proud look. The effects, what does it do? It just reveals the fool within us. It divides. It divides amongst friends and family. It destroys businesses, ministries, churches, homes. That's the effect of pride. God hates it. It's actually, he calls it an abomination. Because someone who has a proud heart, listen to these three things, right? They're unteachable, they're unreachable, and they're unpreachable. Unteachable, unreachable, unpreachable. They're unteachable. A proud person is above correction. If something's wrong in your life, would you want to know? That's why I hate going. Tomorrow I'm going to the dentist. I hate the dentist. You know why? Because they tell me problems. Right now, I don't feel like I have any problems. Okay, I strongly do dislike the dentist. I don't actually physically hate the dentist. Let me revert back to point number one. Thankful for the dentist and the great abilities that God has given some men and women in our life. Great. But I don't like going to the dentist because I feel like everything's okay. And all of a sudden they're like, well, you got early stages of gingivitis. So what does that mean? So, well, if you don't start flossing more, do you floss? Hate when they ask me questions like that. because you can't lie. I have. I've flossed once or twice. Once or twice a week? You have my answer, once or twice. That was it. I don't like going there. Hey, a proud person, let me ask you, when you're doing something wrong, do you want to know about it? No, I'm pretty content in just how my life is. Yeah, but what happens if you're doing something that God despises? Nah, you're unreachable. You're unteachable, unreachable, unable to hear the truth. So when the word of God is preached, it goes in one ear and one out the other. That's a proud heart. Unpreachable, not willing to admit wrongdoing. I'm telling you, to be able to get along in this life and be able to get along with God, you better learn these words. I'm sorry. I was wrong. How do I fix it? Those will be helpful. You want to resolve, I don't know what, if you have a conflict in your life right now, because the Bible tells us only by pride cometh contention, right? So if you got a conflict going on in your life right now, maybe with it's a coworker, a boss or somebody, you better be able to say, I think I've done something wrong, how do I fix it? Or else that thing's not going to be resolved. And you be careful, because you know what'll happen? One day you'll be sitting in here and you'll hear the preached word of God and say, that's not for me. You become unpreachable. So when you look at the word of God, there you are. You know, imagine a mirror. And the Lord shows you, hey, there's a bit of bitterness. Yeah, but it's not as bad. Nope, I want all bitterness out. As you read the word of God and you start thinking about other people and not yourself, we realize that that's critical. God says that's got to go. Proud look. So what should we be? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we'll end with this. When we look in the mirror, what should we see? Well, I'm going to see the same thing every time I look. But what should others see in us? When others look at us, should they see bitterness? Should they see a critical heart? Should they see pride? No. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says this. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What should others see? They should see Jesus Christ. Say, I'm a lady. I hope they don't see that. I understand. But they should see the character traits of that. Others should see Christ. They should see grace. They should see mercy in our life. They should see love and compassion. They should see righteousness. They should see faith. They should see peace. They should see joy. What are we reflecting? Go back to James chapter 1 and we'll conclude. James chapter 1. And verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Lord, help us that we don't approach the word of God like that. Lord, help us that when we see something that ought not to be there, we have the wisdom, the humility to correct it. Because he's going to keep showing us stuff. Remember when you were 18, skin all soft and smooth? Older you get, the less it's like that. Maybe others are, you know. Hey, do you understand the older you get in the things of the Lord, it's amazing how he reveals things that show up in our life. As a new Christian, I'm just to be happy about being in it. 20 years down the road, all of a sudden he's starting to touch the things that are deep in your heart. What do you see as a reflection? Can I ask you, if you don't like what you see, whose responsibility is it to change it? It's yours. Bitterness? Critical? Pride? Is your life a reflection of Christ? Do you reflect Christ? Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.